We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Paul Douglas, Wednesday, hump day. Hope you're having a good Wednesday. Beautiful day out there. What I was kind of imagining in my mind's eye back in February and March, I was imagining in April and even early May, and it's here. Like flipping on a switch, instant summer. Are you watching the January 6th hearings? Only 34% of Americans are following the hearing somewhat or very closely. About 9% of Americans following what the proceedings very closely. But 60% of Americans believe the committee is conducting a fair and impartial investigation. Apparently, there will be more hearings later in July. New evidence apparently coming in. So again, we'll see. Will it change minds? Stay tuned. Vaccines now available for kids under the age of 6 months to 5 years old, approved by the FDA, approved by the CDC. You may want to contact your pharmacy or clinic. Certainly consult with your doctor before doing anything. But we talked about that in the 3 o'clock hour, and we did get a couple of texts. One text, there's no way I'd inject a baby or small child with mRNA, as nobody knows how it's going to affect them. Well, a lot of research has been done into mRNA vaccines, and most people don't have any side effects, and it does tend to mean a milder disease if, in fact, you do get COVID. Another texter says, Paul, kids do not get sick from COVID. Youngest children have all kinds of cross protection from other coronaviruses. Why in the world would you vaccinate kids? My understanding, looking at information from trusted sources, is that 400 kids under the age of 5 have died from coronavirus. It's true. Younger kids tend not to get the severe symptoms that older Americans, that seniors get. But that doesn't mean the risk is zero. That's my understanding. So, you know, does it lower the risk of getting a severe illness? It seems to. But again, check with your doctor before you do anything. In the 3 o'clock hour, Dr. Greg Poland, who's a vaccine expert at the Mayo Clinic, weighed in on vaccinating young kids.
Kids, complications, they're not as good. They're mediocre in protecting against asymptomatic, mild, maybe even moderate infection. In fact, their efficacy for those more mild symptoms is maybe 30 to 50%. Their efficacy against severe disease, more in the 85% range. So, okay. You know, you have to go in understanding what the rationale for the vaccine is.
That was Dr. Greg Poland, one of the world's leading researchers into vaccines at the Mayo Clinic. So call me crazy, but I will probably follow what Dr. Poland says as opposed to something I read on Facebook. That's just me. Call me crazy. I've heard it before. We talked about the White House trying to force the removal of nearly all nicotine from cigarettes to make them less addictive. And your responses were interesting on the text line. One of our listeners says, Paul, pretty bizarre. They're legalizing marijuana everywhere, but they're taking the nicotine out of cigarettes. The government, you have made cigarettes more expensive than marijuana. It's come to the point where the only place to smoke legally is one's own bathroom. Now we quit. It ain't worth it. Yeah, smoking kills about 500,000 Americans every single year. So, and I still know people who smoke, and they are determined. Many of them have cut way back, but they still smoke. It's the way I heard it described, nicotine is more addictive than cocaine. I hope I'm not spouting nonsense, but I think that's the case. We talked about mainly millennials, younger people earning $250,000 a year and still living paycheck to paycheck, not having any money left at the end of the month after paying for expenses. And one of our listeners says, Paul, if you're earning $250,000 a year and living paycheck to paycheck, you have overextended on something or many things. Yeah, my mom used to always warn me, you know. Paul, you've got champagne tastes and a beer budget. So, yeah. Again.
Live within your means. That's
live within your means. But that's hard to do. I think if you're living in a big city and you're paying $2,000-$4,000 a month on rent, I can see how people get into trouble. We talked about climate change, and by the way, it was hotter back in the 1930s, the Dust Bowl days. July 1936, 8 days in a row of 100-degree heat in the Twin Cities, but it was much drier back then. We didn't have the crazy dew points in the 70s and 80s. And my understanding of the Dust Bowl and the heat of the 30s is that it was regional. It was not global. This time around, we're seeing that warm signal all around the world. Back in the 30s, it was mainly over the central U.S., specifically the Plain States. One of our listeners says, Paul, I've heard various meteorologists say the reason for having so much summer humidity is so many more acres of corn being grown. And it's also grown in much higher densities. The corn rows spaced closer together. Corn gives off a lot of humidity as it grows. No question about that. And you are absolutely right. Evapotranspiration. Not transportation. Evapotranspiration.
Corn on the road, huh? Corn on the go.
Well, yeah. I hate it when the corn winds up on the road. I'd rather it wound up in my mouth. But yeah, corn sweats at night. It gives off water as it grows, and that does, in fact, add more water to the atmosphere. And yes, we do see higher amounts of water and water vapor in the Corn Belt. However, we're seeing more water in other places, generally east of the Mississippi, that aren't near the Corn Belt. So yes, does that throw more water into the air? Absolutely. And that's one of many factors, but the fact that it has warmed a couple of degrees and warm air can hold more water, and the Gulf of Mexico, as Dr. Abraham described, evaporating more water into the air now because the water's warmer, the air's warmer, and some of that moisture reaching Minnesota. So again, it's a combination of factors, but yes, evapotranspiration, not transportation, Paul. Evapotranspiration is one of many factors. So thank you, everybody, for weighing in today. You know who's going to weigh in, who's on another vacation? He takes his PTO very seriously, the travel preacher, DJ David Josephson. Where in the world is DJ? We'll find out next on CCO.
He's a traveling man, ready to impart his wisdom and tips.
I'm a traveling man, made a lot of stops.
Now on Paul and Jordana, it's time for Preaching Travel with DJ.
Hey, life is short. You want to play as hard as you work. I have wanderlust. I love to travel. I always come back with new eyes and new appreciation for what we have in this country. and what we have all across the planet. My goal is to see as much of this as I can while I can still travel. DJ is very serious about his travel, and he joins us right now on CCO. DJ, where are you?
Hi, Paul. The other thing you get when you travel a lot is you get a longer list of places you have to go back to. I am in Rockland, Maine right now, which is, they call it mid-coast Maine. So we're an hour or more north of Portland, but not yet up to the Acadia, Bar Harbor area, kind of the middle coast area. And, you know, we're having a great time. One of the things that I kind of added to my list, though, is that Maine has mountains and ski resorts and some very remote areas, which is further up than we're going to get. So I got at least one other trip planned already. But yeah, we are in a little coastal village of Rockland, Maine. It's known as the lobster capital of the world. So in a couple of months, they'll have their annual lobster fest. And we are staying here for about 5 days. We rented a little camper thing we found on Airbnb, and we're having a great time so far.
Have you noticed the local accent? They don't say Bar Harbor. It's Bar Harbor. Bar Harbor. Did you go to Bar Harbor and Acadia National Park? I hope you did.
I met that guy yesterday who talked like that. He sold us a lobster roll. But we're going to Acadia and Bar Harbor tomorrow. It's a bit of a drive. We'll get up early and we'll day trip it up there, which we're very excited about.
You're going to love it. What have things gone the way you thought they would go so far? Any life lessons from this trip? And did you get swept up in all the airline craziness?
Well, the airline question's easy. No, we did just fine with Southwest. We had to go through Chicago, and then we actually flew to Manchester, New Hampshire. Everything's so close up here. You're like, oh, New Hampshire, it's only a half an hour from the border, and then, you know, you buzz up the coast to where we are. So the air travel went just fine. And today, we had a really interesting day today. We took a ferry from Rockland, so we literally had to drive, like, 2 miles, stopped at the ferry terminal, and then got on a ferry to an island called Vinyl Haven. And it's one of the largest year-round islands. I mean, this coast up here is just dotted with harbors and bays and islands and peninsulas. It's this very rugged coastline. But Vinyl Haven is the largest, or one of the largest islands that is inhabited year-round. So there's like a real town and a post office, and there's cars, and you can take the ferry out there. But it's still a ways away. It's an hour and 15 minutes on the ferry. We chose not to bring our rental car. So we parked, we took the ferry over and made a day trip of it. Went to a sort of a rocky beach up there. Beach is kind of the wrong word to use, because when you think of a beach, you think of like a beach in Mexico or Florida. It's not like that. It's rugged and rocky. You got to think of like a beach on the north shore of Minnesota is closer to what they have here. But we had a nice lunch there, and there was a few other folks that were day tripping. So we made a few friends along the way. And, then on the way back, it was amazing. We just got back a half an hour ago. And, you know, you run your kids ragged enough when they both sleep for the entire hour and 15-minute ferry ride back to town. That was awesome.
That's one way to do it. Now, Maine is drop-dead gorgeous, and I think it's the only state that has fjords, much like you find in Norway. I think there's some fjords up there. But any advice based on this latest trip? Anything you would have changed? The accommodations okay? Anything you would have brought for your kids that maybe you didn't bring along? Or is it all kind of going to plan?
You know, I mean, nothing ever goes perfectly to plan. But one of the things we've learned is that we we're traveling in peak season, which is unusual for us. Yeah. So we were trying to find a place to stay. And, okay, we bought our airfare. We bought a rental car, which is kind of like, gulp, wow, I've never paid that much for a rental car before. But we, you know, found the cheapest option and got it. And then we're looking for a place to stay. And it's kind of like the budget is already mostly used up, and we can't find anything that's reasonable that's in a place we wanted to go. So the solution for us was, we are literally staying in an Airstream trailer that is camped on or parked on someone's property, and they've got a nice deck built onto it. And it doesn't go anywhere. It just parks there, and it's got a propane and a septic system and everything. But it's it's simple, right? Like, it's just enough beds for the four of us, and we don't spend a lot of time there. It's just our home base to, you know, have a warm place to sleep at night, and then we're kind of go throughout the day. So that's how we made it work on, you know, trying to keep some sort of budget in mind, although a trip to Maine isn't the cheapest thing you're going to do, but we're trying to stay somewhat within a budget and to go and stay at like a, you know, Harbor View Lodge with a nice balcony and a fire pit and multiple bedrooms and stuff. Like, that place, you know, forget $200 a night. That place is $400, $500, $600 a night this time of year. And that's just, at this point, isn't in our budget. You know, I literally looked, the Motel 6 in the town we're staying at, the cheapest night they sell there is $140 for a Motel 6. So it's just, things are a little expensive right now. So this was our way to combat that a little bit.
Well, Airstreams are really, really nice. They're sort of the BMWs of trailers. I mean, do you mind telling me what you're paying for that Airstream? I'm just curious.
Yeah, it is. It was, I think, it's just a touch over $100 a night for the Airstream. Wow. And then you got to add on some taxes and fees or whatever. But the base rate was just a little over $100 a night. And now it's fine. It's comfortable. It does everything we need it to do. But it is, I think it's a 1971 or something like that. So It's dated, and a few things have been updated, but most of it, it looks like, you know, it's from 1971. It's a little older and creaky and all of those things. But it's fine. The heat works. Everything works in it. The stove works. The fridge works. Everything's just fine.
Wait, the heat? You got the furnace on?
Oh my gosh, Paul, I did the math the other day. At one point, it was 44 degrees colder in Maine than it was in the Twin Cities. I think it's 56 degrees right now. I mean, we had, you know, double sweatshirts on the ferry on the way back. Yes, I think the warmest temperature is supposed to be the entire time we're here is 72 degrees. Other than that, it's highs in the 60s, dipping down, you know, 50s or high 40s overnight. It's brisk here.
Well, we miss you, and Tubbsy's doing a great job in your absence, but hurry home, enjoy the rest of your week, and soak it up, and thanks for everything over the years, DJ. It's been great working with you, buddy.
Yeah, thanks to you, Paul. I'm sad I'm missing the last week of the normal show there, but glad I could be a part of it in this way. And hey, if anybody out there loves the North Shore of Minnesota, you love getting up to Duluth, Grand Marais, that area, book your trip to Maine. If you like the North Shore, you'll love it here in Maine.
Yeah, it's pretty stunning. DJ, thank you, Mr. Travel Preacher. Safe travels, my friend. All right. Okay, when we come back, a couple of show highlights. We've covered a lot of ground, from gun control to how do you protect yourself from severe storms if you're camping out in the woods? A few highlights next on CCO. Paul, back with you. Will there be any kind of meaningful gun reform in the wake of some of these horrific massacres, these shootings, mass shootings all across the country? No place is immune, it seems. And now comes news that there may be some bipartisan progress on a bill. We'll see if they can get it over the finish line in Washington, D.C. We had Rob Doerr on the air in the 3 o'clock hour. He is the senior VP at the Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus. And I asked Rob, does it make sense to make it a little harder for young people between the age of 18 and 21 to purchase firearms?
How the implementation of this is going to be very interesting, especially from a due process, where if you've got somebody who hasn't been identified as a criminal, if you're going to deny them their constitutionally protected rights, what's the threshold that has to be met, you know, if there hasn't been a criminal conviction?
In light of the fatality, a tree fell on a camper at Lake Mary up near Alexandria. With those crazy storms that blew through Monday night, Alexandria Lakes, Brainerd Lakes definitely got the worst of that storm system. But if you're in a camper, if you're, you know, in a sleeping bag and a tent and the trees are swaying overhead and there's thunder and lightning, what do you do? How do you protect yourself and lower the risk? Kenny Blumenfeld is the senior climatologist at the DNR Division of Ecological and Water Resources, and he talked about some ways that you can lower risk during severe storms when you're camping.
You know where you are, understand your surroundings, understand where the shelter is. I think you're right, Paul, that when you're out in the woods, I mean, there's really only so much you can do, and that is some of the risk that we assume when we decide we're going to go camping or go rough it a bit. But you can always hedge against the hazards that are possible by understanding where you are and understanding where you could go or what you would want to do in the event that some serious storms come your way.
Well, certainly listening to the radio is one effective way to keep on top of things, situational awareness. And I know you're out there because you love to camp and you're enjoying nature and you're hiking, fishing, whatever. I get it. But at the same time, just keeping an eye on what's happening. Now with cell phones, you know, there's so many apps. You can get Doppler radar on your cell phone, on your smartphone, and there don't have to be surprises. And I realize, yeah, if you're up in the Boundary Waters, you may not get a cell signal, so that's out. One thing that's a viable option and maybe the cheapest form of life insurance you'll ever come across is a portable NOAA weather radio, battery operated. This thing goes off and it lets out a squeal if there's a warning for your county. And a lot of people have had their lives saved. They're sound asleep. It's 2 a.m. They don't know that a tornado is approaching. The NOAA weather radio goes off and gives them, 10, 15 minutes of lead time so they can try to find a shelter, some way to protect themselves. So consider that. Dr. John Abraham is a climate scientist at the University of St. Thomas. And look, we've had extreme weather since the dawn of time. But are the extremes that we've always had, the natural extremes, trending more extreme in a warmer climate? Here's what Dr. Abraham had to say.
And what happens is when it rains harder than it used to. But then we have longer periods of time where there's no rain. And as a result, we are going from one extreme to the other more violently. We're going from hot and dry to hot and wet, back to hot and dry, and then back to hot and wet. So we're getting these dry, wet spells that are coming with more ferocity and more frequency. And that's a expected outcome of climate change.
Yeah, this weather whiplash. Going from one extreme to the next and weather weirding. And at one point, the DNR actually went back and looked at something called mega rains. A mega rain is a massive flood that impacts multiple counties, 6 inches, 8 inches of rain or more. And they went back forensically and they looked at newspaper clippings dating back to 1858 when Minnesota became a state. And they could determine, oh, this was a little garden variety flood. This was a big one. Look at the number of counties that were impacted. So since 1858, there have been 22 mega rains in Minnesota. 22. Half of those have been since the turn of the century, since 2000. Roughly 11 of those. So, yeah, when it rains, it tends to rain harder during the warm season. So, anyway, thanks to everybody for coming on the show today. Greatly appreciate the experts we had on. When we come back, some stuff that made us chuckle. Next on CCO.
That is just pathetic. He's literally begging them to invent votes for him. It's like watching an old man try to mooch an extra pancake at the Denny's. What are we doing here, folks? I only need one more pancake, fellas. And then I got a grand slam. Just flap some jacks on there, okay? Give me a break. Give me a break. And the state of Georgia.
Stephen Colbert, who's not known for pulling his punches. Where's Jimmy Kimmel? He hasn't been on for a while. I don't know. But apparently his fill-in is trying to make a name for himself. And this is what Sean Hayes had to say yesterday about the summer solstice.
The truth is, there's no official definition for when summer begins or when it ends, just like a white woman's birthday. Today, it's true, those are so long. Today also happens to be National Selfie Day, which was a rare chance for everyone on social media to focus on themselves for a change. Cameron, do you know who invented the selfie?
Kim Kardashian?
No, that's not correct.
No?
Oh, my. We live in crazy times. Do you take selfies? Do you take a lot of selfies, Chris?
No. I don't. No.
Is that the mark of a narcissist? When you see mostly selfies on their Instagrams or Facebook posts? I don't know.
You know, I don't know. I don't read into it. As the kids would say, I don't think it's that deep. It's not that deep. Like I just think it's people like to take it. I mean, I guess it's all how you – I mean, if you're like the normal folk like me and you just take a picture of something. But then you got people that, you know, they're like batting their hair and flishing it around and, you know, doing all the things with like their, you know, eyelashes and getting all, you know, pimped out or whatever. It's maybe – But, I mean, I'm
Wait, are you talking pimped or primped?
Primped.
Primped, yeah.
What did I say?
Because pimped is something different. Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. I guess the R, the R, it's a significant.
Changes the meaning considerably.
It changes the meaning, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Primped, thank you.
I'm exhausted. Hey, as a would-be entrepreneur, I wish somebody would hurry up and invent an alternative to plastic, which takes, I think the average plastic bottle takes something like 400 years to decompose. And much of the plastic winds up in our lakes and rivers and oceans. I mean, there's a floating patch of plastic in the middle of the Pacific the size of Texas. They can actually track it on the satellite. So hurry up, somebody, and invent an alternative to plastic, which, of course, depends on fossil fuels to create. I saw this story, and it made me do a triple take. A Dutch researcher found tiny plastic particles in the organs and blood of 80% of the people who were tested. The health risk is not fully known. It's certainly reasonable to be concerned, one of the researchers said. No kidding. 80% of the people tested have little bits of plastic. We have no idea what the long-term implications.
I would believe it, though. I bet if we did a true like toxicology of what's in our body, we would be amazed at all of the, even if there's minute traces of things, you're like, I can't believe that's in your body and you don't even know it.
Yeah, I don't want that toxicology report.
No,
you know?
not till I'm dead. Then they can find out. But, you know, while I'm still alive, I don't want to be grossed out by what's in my body. I mean, I'm grossed out enough by my own body. I don't want to know what's on the inside.
Let that up to the coroner someday, you know?
Yes.
The autopsy results. Oh, my goodness. He was just a walking time bomb. Oh, by the way, speaking of plastic, I didn't know this. Samsung just launched a new line of smartphones, tablets, and PCs made in part from discarded nylon ocean fishing nets. So that's kind of clever, talking about recycling plastic and turning it into something useful. But interesting times.
Nylon. Chris, nylon.
Nylon nets, fishing nets, that were discarded and found out at sea, and that's what they're melting down to create these new tablets and smartphones from Samsung. So, yeah, you know, hey, good idea. There are some companies out there with great ideas. We can have everything we want, but be a little more respectful of the only planet we have.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with me. Appreciate you tuning in, and I wish you and yours a very happy evening. We'll try this hot mess again tomorrow. Be safe out there.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.